Alrighty, Shabbat Shalom. Why don't you guys go ahead and have a seat? So, thank you, Brother Archie. I already told you this, but you pretty much stole my message. Outstanding, good job. So I told him two witnesses. So hopefully the things that Yahweh has prepared me with over the course of this week will just kind of bear witness with a lot of the things that might be going on with you guys. So why don't you go ahead and open up your Bibles. We're going to get into a couple big passages of Scripture. And rather than listen to me or just watch me looking at that thing while I read it, because that's kind of boring, go ahead and open up your Bibles. We're going to be in two different places, 2 Corinthians 8 and also 1 Chronicles 19. So that way you can kind of read along with what's going on. So let's go ahead and get into just a little bit of the context that Pastor Wendy got into last week. I told her after the message that it was one of the best ones that I'd ever heard her give, and she was like, "What? Really? Why?" And I just said, you just tied in a whole lot of things. And so I just want to offer up a little bit of context of what we saw in last week's Torah portion. It dealt with several civic and societal issues, including slavery, assault, murder, property rights, and finances. And our God isn't just a God of religious and spiritual matters, which is kind of the general understanding of churches and ministries and how people perceive God, but he's also concerned about how his people live on a practical and societal level as well. And one of the neat things that I wanted to share with you guys in relationship to this is a definite praise of what God is doing, and it's not really of a spiritual nature whatsoever, but it is indirectly a blessing to God and to his people, is that this last week on Tuesday evening, our school board, and I apologize if I'm touching on some sensitive ground here with folks, but oh well, that this last week our school board decided to get rid of the mask mandate in our public schools. And one of the things that, health benefits aside, blah, 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 that, you know, that is up for discussion, depending on who you talk to. But one of the things that I've really realized with all of this, and it's not necessarily about the masks, but it definitely plays a part in it, is I truly believe in the next couple of years, we are going to see the true impact of the masks on our young people spiritually, emotionally, and just their well-being. I really believe that. And as much as we want to pray for physical health and protection for our young people, I believe more than anything we need to be praying for their well-being, their emotional well-being, their relational well-being, just how they interact with one another, how they interact with adults. And I just think we are going to see ramifications of the last 2 years in ways that most people never intended or imagined. And I think it is definitely something for us to be on our faces and just interceding for our youth, for the youth of this valley, for the youth all across the world. And I was just reminded of that because, like I said, it's not necessarily directly a spiritual thing, but God is concerned about the well-being of his people. He's concerned about the well-being of just everyone that he has created in this world. And whether you want to put a spiritual effect on it or a spiritual bend, God cares about his children, he cares about his people, and we need to as well, whether it's a spiritual thing or physical. So praise God for our school board, praise God for him just putting those men and women in that place and allowing them to be bold and to truly pursue God and the will of just the people in this valley. So praise God for our school board. I'm just so thankful for that. But in addition to these civic and social instructions that Yahweh gave last week, he also gives instructions on the religious and spiritual issues as well, including Sabbath and the feast days. Other than Passover, this is one of the first instructions you see God giving Israel on the feast days. He mentions Sabbath, obviously. He mentions Passover and a little bit of unleavened, but as Archie brought out, he brings out the other feasts as well, or two other ones. And so there's that instruction as well. And the portion concludes with Israel entering into covenant with God, declaring their obedience to God's instructions. And what is interesting is you see a large transformation in the hearts of Israel. at the end of this Torah portion, they're excited, and what do they say? Everything that you say, we will do. And they are telling Yahweh this. They are saying, we will do these things. And later on in their 40-year journey, what do they say? We don't want to hear God's voice anymore. We would rather have that mediator come between us. We would rather have that person, a physical person, tell us what to do, even though anointed by God, even though filled with His Spirit, even though given that Torah and those instructions, they would rather see a physical person give them God's word than to go straight to God Himself. And they acknowledge this covenant with God, and it's huge. It's key, and I think this is one of the transformative things in their relationship with God after the deliverance from slavery in Egypt, is that they're delivered. They enter into this restoration of sorts, this rescue, and then God gives them some instructions, and they say, all that you say, we will do. This is them truly entering into the covenant. And I love this because it's all Israel. That's what we see. All Israel recognizes Yahweh, all that you say, we will do. Now, maybe there were some off to the side that said, oh, I don't know about that. But the people as a whole recognized that they wanted to do that. But now that Israel had been given some of the instructions on how to live religiously, socially, and civically, God begins giving instructions for His dwelling place, His tabernacle. And I think this is neat, is that Yahweh, other than the pillar of fire and smoke that you saw, He decides, I want to make My presence reside within Israel. So that they see Him. They see the way that He desires man to come to Him. Israel sees the structure. They see the process. They're going to give instructions, which we're going to touch on just a little bit, on how to make amends with Him and with their brothers and sisters through offerings. And I'll tell you what, this is a preview of coming attractions. God is very specific on the offerings that and the sacrifices He asks Israel to give. He is very specific. He is very specific. And when you fall short towards God, when you fall short towards your brother, when you fall short just to all of Israel as a whole. And He says, we want to engage with this. This is one of the things that I think the popular Christian church, and that's what I refer to not as all Christianity. I don't want to make that distinction. But I always kind of talk about popular Christianity. Christianity that just touches the surface of God's character, God's purposes, and His Word. Because we all know the more that you spend time in His Word, in His Torah, and digging deeper, you get a better understanding of who He is. And we're going to see how Israel is falling short of that. And popular Christianity says, well, Yeshua is my ultimate sacrifice, so once I believe in Him, that's all done. Whether I've sinned towards Him, whether I've sinned towards my brother and sister, or I've sinned towards anything, Yeshua is my sacrifice. I accept that. I'll plead the blood of the Lamb even. I'll go that far, and that's enough. But if Messiah truly is the embodiment of all of those sacrifices that you see in the beginning of Leviticus, it is a blessing and it is a hardship sometime to recognize that Yeshua represents every single one of those sacrifices. Leviticus 1, He represents. Leviticus 2, He represents. Leviticus 3 and 4 and 5 and 6. And when you find yourself falling short, when you find yourself sinning towards Him or your brother and sister, I would just encourage you and even challenge you to not just say, Yeshua, thank you for forgiving me by your sacrifice, your mercy and grace. While true, engage with Leviticus 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, and say, thank you that you are forgiving me from sin towards you by being the sacrifice of the lamb, of the pigeon, of the bread, of whatever it is that I've transgressed against you. Specifically, you confess the sin that you committed towards God or your brother and sister. And not just to do the popular thing and say, God, thank you for forgiving me. Thank you for your sacrifice. Again, while true, go a little bit deeper. So now that Israel had been given those instructions, he said, let's start building my tabernacle. Let's start building the place where I will reside amongst you in the very center of your being. Not on the outskirts, but in the very center. And all of you tribes, gather around, because I want you to see how you function on a daily basis. So Exodus 25, verses 1 through 9, this is where we start out the Torah portion here. And Yahweh was laying just a couple different things on my heart, and it, as he usually does, is if you prepare for a message, usually you end up getting your own thoughts in advance, or days or hours or whatever it is, and you think, okay, good, I'm going to go this route. And you kind of prepare yourself for it. And then it kind of seems that at the last minute, and maybe Archie can relate to this since he only had about 24 hours to give for the message or to prepare for it, God says, hey, guess what? This is what I want you to talk about. And all of a sudden you're out of your comfort zone because you thought, well, I'd spent days working on this other thing. I had notes and it was going to be really neat. And Yahweh said, nope, that's not what you're supposed to teach on today. And so here we go in Exodus 25, verses 1 through 9. Then the Lord spoke to Moses, saying, tell the sons of Israel to take a contribution for me. From everyone whose heart moves him, you shall take my contribution. And I'll touch on what Yahweh was giving me, what I thought at the beginning of the week, is he does not tell them at this point what the offerings and contributions are for. He just says, give contributions when your heart is willing. That's all that he asks. Because so many people, they will give offerings if they know what the offerings are supposed to go to. Because people would rather say, I would like to give my offering to purchase new Bibles for the church. Or to purchase better, more comfortable chairs and pews. I would like to give my tithes and offerings to the ministry that feeds the poor. Now, all of those things are good and worthy of offerings, worthy of the tithes of God's people. But how often, how comfortable are you with God just saying, give contributions if you're willing? End of story. Are you comfortable with that? Or are part of you like, well, can you kind of tell me what you're wanting to do here? Sometimes it's not. Sometimes you want to see your name on the back of that chair. Sometimes you want to see the cool little block in the back of the building that says, so-and-so gave such and such money for the addition to this particular building. How many of you might be a little bit concerned that you might have given a little bit of money to the addition that we want to put in the back of the church? And you gave that money many, many months ago, with the anticipation that it would be done by October or November, that you would have a nice warm place to meet in the back. God has a sense of humor sometimes. God wants to teach us lessons sometimes. And while this church and while the leaders and the leadership and just all of you really felt like God was saying, yes, we want that building, God's going to use it to bless this body and other people. I mean, we have plans for that thing. We were supposed to be halfway through making all of you fluent in Hebrew because of Kathy and maybe Adva. That was one of the plans. It's like, we can't do the Hebrew class back there when it's open, so let's have a new building. Trey, Maddie, how many of you just really liked the idea that we would have a place for the little ones to crawl around and play with toys? Yeah, why aren't they there yet? Because God has other plans. And we are just meant to give offerings sometimes with no idea what God wants to do. But the key is, are you willing to? Has God moved on your spirit to give that contribution? Moving on, this is the contribution. So Yahweh says, okay, now I'm going to give these. I'm going to tell you what it is. This is the contribution which you are to take from them. Gold, silver, bronze, violet, purple, and scarlet material, fine linen, goat hair, ram skins, dyed red, fine leather, acacia wood, oil for lighting, balsam oil for the anointing oil and for the fragrant incense, onyx stones and setting stones for the ephod and for the breastpiece. Where did Israel come up with all of these things? Do you think they just found these wandering around in the desert and say, oh, porpoise skins? or manatee skins, or whatever it is, however your translation says. Do you think there was a lot of porpoise skins wandering around in the desert? Do you think there were just a lot of onyx stones just sitting around like, oh, look, I don't know what that is, but let's take it. When Israel was delivered from Egypt, they plundered Egypt. They were given things by the Egyptians, by the very people that had enslaved them, and they were saying, go, take the gold, the silver, take these onyx stones. You know what? I've got a couple spare porpoise skins lying around. Israel, take the porpoise skins. Israel had no idea why they were getting all this oil, acacia wood, violet, purple, scarlet material, goat hair. Really? You want to wander around in the hot desert with goat hair? But Yahweh had a reason for that they didn't realize at the time. How many times has Yahweh given you a word, given you an instruction, given you a freedom from some particular sin or struggle or addiction, and you don't really know why God did it, and then there comes a point in time where you're like, oh, now I know why. Now I know exactly why God taught me that last week, last month, last year, decades ago, when I was in high school. How many times has He done that? And I love that because it's about Him doing the entire process from start to finish. I'm giving you this. You don't know why. Hold on. Hold on. It's going to take a couple years for me to utilize this in your life. Just hold on. And then someday you encounter a situation, you're like, praise God, now I know why. And then in verse 8, have them construct a sanctuary for me so that I may dwell among them, according to all that I am going to show you as the pattern of the tabernacle and the pattern of all its furniture, so you shall construct it. Yahweh had a plan in mind of what He wanted to use those offerings for. It came up in our small group this week, is that if Yahweh had the plans, what if Israel did not give enough onyx stones? What if Israel did not give enough violet and purple linen? What if Israel did not give enough goat hair? What would the tabernacle have looked like? And we discussed it, and I truly believe that Yahweh had a plan in mind from the beginning of time, and He allowed Israel, He caused Israel to give exactly what they were supposed to have to build the tabernacle. We talked about skimming the idea of predestination, and we don't want to go there. Not at this time. We can talk about it at Oneg if you would like, because that's more than just a 45-minute message if you have ever engaged in that before. I truly believe Yahweh knew what Israel was going to give, and the tabernacle was based on that. I believe truly that Yahweh does not necessarily dictate the way that we live, but He knows how we are going to live. Traditionally, offerings to God have been seen as either obligatory and commanded, like the 10% tithe. And by the way, you need to give 10%, and it has to be off of the gross of your paycheck. The net is not allowed. Have you ever heard that little message? Because by golly, we need to get that extra little bit of money in the offering plate. The net is not enough. Give the gross. And if you have any other deductions for insurance or whatnot, you need to tithe off of that as well. I'm speaking tongue in cheek. Whatever it is that Yahweh has called you to give, you need to give that, if nothing else, obligatory. Or people completely give offerings completely voluntary and self-determined. They just say, I feel like giving this. Sometimes haphazardly, you see other people get up and they give something in the basket or the box, and you're like, oh, maybe I should give something. Maybe I should just throw something in. Or, you know, we had the kids with their Awana group. They were making these little shoeboxes to give to orphans and kids in need. And God bless my children. Some of them, namely the smaller ones, said, oh, I'll give this toy. And it was like one small piece of like the entire set that they had. It's like, sure, I'll give this one action figure that's missing an arm and has kind of a divot out of its head. God bless my children for having that desire, but sometimes Yahweh says, I kind of want you to be intentional about what you're giving here and not just haphazardly do it. While mandatory obedience is part of the covenant with God, his hope is that it wouldn't be strictly obligatory. If you are in covenant with God, I would challenge you. And sometimes this is a process and this is a conversation and a dance that you have to do with Yahweh. He has specific instructions in mind for the offerings that you are supposed to give as part of the covenant with God that you have entered into. He has specific instructions. And it is in our best interest to appropriately walk within that covenant with God to figure out what that offering is. Mandatory obedience. That is something that we don't like to hear in churches or Christianity, but you know what? If God took the time to give us 613 instructions, He desires for us to walk in obedience to that. Now, it can look different for different people depending on the season of life that you're in. And there's definitely spiritual applications to those things. I told Andrea the other day, we were out on a date, and I said, you know, this is an idea for a book that God has given me to write at some point. She's like, I never knew that you were wanting to write. I said, well, we'll see when God does that. So there is a physical, and there is a spiritual application for all of these things. But God's hope is that it wouldn't be strictly obligatory. Financial offerings are commanded in the Torah and the entire Bible. If you like to kind of discount the Old Testament and its practical application to you, guess what? You can find tithes and offerings in the New Testament as well. But God also asks for much more than that. Our tithes and offerings are about more than just finances. Our tithes and offerings also include our very lives. More so than our tithes and offerings. You don't negate the former for the spiritual. Again, I would challenge you, and sorry, but I'm feeling a little bit bold today, is I think every single one of us is, if you count yourself as God, during the time of tithe and offering, you should be up in front of that. Everyone. Whether you get paid at the beginning of the month, whether you get paid every other week, whether you get paid daily, whether you get just tips or whatever it is, you do the financial thing as Yahweh leads. But I would challenge you is that every time you have the opportunity to go and give your tithes and offerings to God, that you would give yourself. You would just go recognize it. You know, our family only gets one Sabbath a month to go and give our tithe and our offering. But you know what? We go up every week. And we thank Yahweh for the blessing of our lives and what He has given us, just the very fact that we are alive and that we get to meet with Him and His people and we get to honor the Sabbath and fellowship with Him and one another. We thank Him. And I would lovingly and respectfully challenge you to pray about what Yahweh wants you to give on a weekly basis. You don't need to have it specifically. One of the things I pray is, Yahweh, use our lives however you see fit. Most of you have heard me say, Yahweh, just build up your kingdom and strengthen in numbers and use us however you see fit. From the oldest me down to little Tessa. Yahweh, use Tessa to build up your kingdom. How many of you see that little girl wandering around and walking around and all of a sudden you feel the kingdom of God in you strengthen just a little bit? How many with just the little ones around here, do you see that and you're like, God is good? When you see new life come into this world, when you see new life come into this world after the last 2 years, praise God that we get to see that. That is life. We love the fact that Tessa, her entire life before she was born, took place in 2021. It wasn't just an overlap, it was all of 2020. I don't even know what year it is now. Yahweh redeemed in our family, and I believe in so many in this body, these last couple of years by having the life of these three little ones that we see. There is joy when you walk in. You can have a terrible week, and you see three little ones wandering around. And you see one another, too. It's not just that you have to be short and cute to give encouragement to people. It's all of us. And so again, I would lovingly and respectfully challenge you, pray about what it looks like when you have that time of tithes and offerings, you go and offer yourself. You would offer your family. You would offer your time and your resources. How does God want to use our financial and personal tithes and offerings? What does He want to accomplish with them? Going back to what I said a few minutes ago, it is a submission to Him and saying, however you want to. But what is so neat is that God has specific things in mind that He wants to use that money for. It's not that you go up and you give your 10% and God says, we'll just store that away in a nice CD or, you know, a bond or a stock, or just put it in the savings account and we'll see what comes up later. It's not like you go and you give your 10% or whatever offering you give and you're always putting it in an emergency fund for something that comes up later. When you give anything, when you give your money, when you give your time, Yahweh knows exactly how every dollar of that offering is going to be used. And that is such a cool thing, is because it makes you a direct partner with what He is doing in His kingdom. And I truly believe that that is something that we need to tune into a little bit more. When Israel gave from a willing heart, God had specific plans and materials in mind for Israel to give towards. Yahweh did not ask for chicken feathers. He did not ask for copper. He did not ask for tin. He did not ask for yellow fabric. He asked for specific things because He knew specifically what the tabernacle needed. And Israel, when they were giving from a willing heart, Yahweh had specific plans for those. So how do we know how to offer up our time, our resources, our gifts and service to God? Or are we just to make arbitrary offerings as we see fit? Now, there are, again, times where Yahweh says, you know what? You have this. I want you to give that. But there are other times where He wants us to be in tune with His Spirit to figure out why it is that we have time to offer, why it is that we have money to offer, why it is that we have resources to offer. Or does God want something specific from us? Something specific from us in order to accomplish a specific purpose. I believe all churches and ministries, they need to be aware of what it is that God wants them to spend their time and energy on. And I've said this before, there have been many people that have said, well, Bet Leckum, why don't you, go have a soup kitchen? That's not the calling of our life. Other churches are, God bless them, and if He calls us to partner with them in some way, we will. But it's not for us. No, people don't necessarily say, you need to have an inner city ministry. It's not our calling. But we support and we pray for those who have that. This ministry, whatever ministry that you might be involved in outside of here, God has a specific plan for that. And when you are able to focus on that specifically, you are able to direct your time and energy towards that and not just go and do this and that. What's the cliche? A jack of all trades is a master of none. A jack of all ministries is a master of none. Take the time and the energy that Yahweh has given you to focus on those things. So I believe that more times than not, God has a specific purpose in mind and has specific gifts and offerings and time and resources He wants us to give. God wants us to have a willing heart to give to what He is building, not just our own plans. And how do we figure out what that is? Proverbs 29:18, where there is no vision, the people are unrestrained, but happy is one who keeps the law. He wants us to have a vision. Why are you here? Why are you in this room? I don't know. Yahweh knows. And He wants to tell you what that is. Ask Yahweh for the vision that He wants you to have. God wants people who have a voluntary heart to give, but sometimes He has specific things He wants people to give and to give to. When we're in tune with the Holy Spirit and what God is doing in and around our lives, we can discern how He wants to use us and how He wants us to give. Before you get up and you give a time or an offering or a recognition of your life and your resources, ask Yahweh. I'm going to mention a shortcoming of mine, is that a lot of times when we get to the first Sabbath, I forget the checkbook. And usually it's in the van, thankfully, because my wife keeps it in her purse. But to me, that shows almost a little bit of disrespect to Yahweh. is because I had that paycheck days ago. I got it on Monday night. And I feel like, and it's something that Yahweh has convicted me of, are you ready to give? Are you ready to give to me what is mine? And praise God, we're sitting there, we're getting ready to, you know, just towards the tail end or just right before tithes and offerings. Yahweh said, Matt, checkbook. I was like, oh! And so I ran outside of the van and I got the checkbook. And praise God, even before the tithes and offerings started, I was like, I've got it written, or pretty much just needed to sign my name. And so I would ask you to pray, God, how are you using me? How do you want to use my family, my gifts, this ministry, whatever it is? Give me discernment on how you want us to do that. Romans 12, verses 1 through 2. This is another way that you can establish that vision in your life. Therefore, I urge you, brothers and sisters, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies as a living and holy sacrifice, acceptable to God, which is your spiritual service of worship. And do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. If you can go through that, if you cannot be conformed to this world and be transformed by Him, so that you may prove what the will of God is, that which is good and acceptable and perfect. That's how you start having an understanding of what God is doing in your life, in your family, in your church, in your country, in your city, whatever it might be. That's how you start having that vision and that discernment. Let's spend some time in 2 Corinthians 8, verses 1 through 14. I mentioned last week, or 2 weeks ago, 3 weeks ago, when I spoke, that Yahweh has been speaking to me more and more about, Matt, are you willing to let my word be enough? And I know I have spent the last 20 minutes or so giving you my thoughts, but I want to spend these last 15 minutes or so, and I just want to get into what Yahweh's word says. I'm going to read more in these next two passages than I normally do. And I will resist the urge to give my thoughts and my commentary on it. I said that 3 weeks ago, and I did not do the best job on that. So forgive me for that, and I ask forgiveness for Yahweh because He gave me a word, and I said, oh, but you know what? I think I've got some stuff there. And praise God, He speaks even through foolish, little silly people like me. But His word is better than my word. Amen? His word is better than your word. So I am trusting as we read through these two passages, because they're kind of lengthy, and I might read it a little bit slower so that God's Spirit can truly just speak what it is that He wants you to know. Because I believe in these passages, there are going to be different things that Yahweh wants to teach different people, and I am not going to be so bold as to assume what that is. I am going to be bold in the fact that I am going to let Yahweh speak to each and every one of you. So if you have your Bibles, praise God, you can read through it. If not, it's sitting right up there. 2 Corinthians 8, verses 1 through 14. Now, brothers and sisters, we make known to you the grace of God, which has been given in the churches of Macedonia, that in a great ordeal of affliction, their abundance of joy and their deep poverty overflowed in the wealth of their liberality. For I testify that according to their ability and beyond their ability, they gave voluntarily, begging us with much urging for the favor of participation in the support of the saints. And this, not as we had expected, but they first gave themselves to the Lord and to us by the will of God. So we urge Titus that as he had previously made a beginning, so he would also complete in you this gracious work as well. But just as you excel in everything, in faith, speaking, knowledge, and in all earnestness, and in the love we inspired in you, see that you also excel in this gracious work. I'm not saying this as a command, but as proving through the earnestness of others the sincerity of your love as well. For you know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, yet for your sake he became poor, so that you, through his poverty, might become rich. I give my opinion in this matter, for this is not to your advantage, who were the first to begin a year ago, not only to do this, but also to desire to do it. but now finish doing it also, so that just as there was the willingness to desire it, so there may be also the completion of it by your ability. For if the willingness is present, it is acceptable according to what a person has, not according to what he does not have. For this is not for the relief of others and for your hardship. I will say real quick, I want to emphasize this part because I think this is really cool. For this is not for the relief of others and for your hardship, but by way of equality. At this present time, your abundance will serve as assistance for their need, so that their abundance also may serve as assistance for your need, so that there may be equality. Okay, I will add one thing. When you give of your time, your resources, your life, your gifts, or whatever it is, to a ministry, to a person, to a missionary, to another random person, and you give, you get back. Because that ministry, that church, that person, whatever it is, blesses you equally. I will read that one more time. At this present time, your abundance will serve as assistance for their need, so that their abundance also may serve as assistance for your need, so that there may be equality. That's 2 Corinthians 8, verses 1 through 14. And I want to finish in 1 Chronicles 19, verses 1 through 20. This is the precursor to what Archie was talking about. Because Archie's passages, I think it was in 2 Chronicles, talked about Solomon's perspective on all of the offerings and the building of that temple, that dwelling place from God. But this is King David's part that he played in this. Because if you remember, King David was not to build the temple. That was not his job. And I love this because King David did not just say, well, not my responsibility, it's all on Solomon. 1 Chronicles 19, verses 1 through 20. Then King David said to the entire assembly, my son Solomon, whom alone God has chosen, is still young and inexperienced, and the work is great, for the temple is not for mankind, but for the Lord God. Now with all my ability, I have provided for the house of my God the gold for the things of gold, the silver for the things of silver, the bronze for the things of bronze, the iron for the things of iron, wood for the things of wood, onyx stones and inlaid stones, stones of antimony and stones of various colors, and all kinds of precious stones and alabaster in abundance. In addition, in my delight in the house of my God, the treasure I have of gold and silver, I give to the house of my God, over and above all that I have already provided for the holy temple, namely 3,000 talents of gold from the gold of Ophir, and 7,000 talents of refined silver to overlay the walls of the buildings, gold for the things of gold and silver for the things of silver, that is for all the work done by the craftsman, who then is willing to consecrate himself this day to the Lord. I'm laughing at something Yahweh's teaching me, and I'll share it in a second. He's teaching me even in this moment. It's kind of cool. Then the rulers of the father's households, the leaders of the tribes of Israel, and the commanders of thousands and hundreds, with the supervisors of the king's work, offered willingly. And for the service of the house of God, they gave 5,000 talents and 10,000 derricks of gold, 10,000 talents of silver, 18,000 talents of brass, and 100,000 talents of iron. Whoever possessed precious stones gave them to the treasury of the house of the Lord in care of Jehiel the Gershonite. Then the people rejoiced because they had offered so willingly, for they made their offering to the Lord wholeheartedly. And King David also rejoiced greatly. Verse 10. So David blessed the Lord in the sight of all the assembly. And David said, blessed are you, Lord, our God of Israel, our Father, forever and ever. Yours, Lord, is the greatness, the power, the glory, the victory, and the majesty. Indeed, everything that is in the heavens and on the earth, yours is the dominion, Lord. And you exalt yourself as head over all. May I read that one more time? So David blessed the Lord in the sight of all the assembly, and David said, "Blessed are you, Lord God of Israel, our Father, forever and ever. Yours, Lord, is the greatness. Yours, Lord, is the power. Yours, Lord, is the glory. Yours, Lord, is the victory. Yours, Lord, is the majesty. Indeed, everything that is in the heavens and on the earth, yours is the dominion, Lord, and you exalt yourself as head over all." Amen. "Both riches and honor come from you, and you rule over all. And in your hand is power and might, and it lies in your hand to make great and to strengthen everyone. Now, therefore, our God, we thank you and praise your glorious name." Verse 14, "But who am I, and who are my people, that we should be able to offer as generously as this? For all things come from you, and from your hand we have given to you. For we are strangers before you and temporary residents, as all our fathers were. Our days on the earth are like a shadow, and there is no hope. Lord our God, all this abundance that we have provided to build you a house for your holy name, it is from your hand, and everything is yours. Since I know, my God, that you put the heart to the test and delight in uprightness, I, in the integrity of my heart, have willingly offered all these things. So now with joy I have seen your people who are present here make their offerings willingly to you. Lord God of Abraham, Isaac, and Israel, our fathers, keep this forever in the intentions of the heart of your people and direct their hearts to you." Gosh, this is good. "And give my son Solomon a perfect heart to keep your commandments, your testimonies, and your statutes, and to do them all, and to build the temple for which I have made provision." When you give to Yahweh, when you give to Adonai, when you give to his kingdom in whatever way it see, whatever way he sets up, all this stuff happens. God is glorified. He does amazing things through it. I chuckled during what I was reading because I thought of my children, and I loosely thought of myself as King David. And I thought of myself realizing that there are going to be magnificent works that are going to take place well after my life is done. And those are going to be done through my children. And it doesn't mean that I have no part to play in that. It means just as King David knew he was not to build the temple, he gave. He gave all the materials and resources that he knew his young son would need to build the dwelling place for God at some point in time. There are things that I will see God do in the lives of my children that I will not be a part of directly. But there is a responsibility and a blessing in me and also in my wife to provide all of the resources that they need to further build God's temple. And I may not see what that looks like. I may not see that direct manifestation. There are people in your lives who are going to do things for God that you may never see. But that does not negate the responsibility you have to help prepare them in whatever way Yahweh sees fit. You have resources. It says in here many times, you have talents. Hundreds and thousands of talents of gold. But you have individual talents that Yahweh is going to use through your children to glorify himself. Yahweh showed me that as I was reading that. It is a humbling but just such an exciting thing to know how God is going to use my children in the future and what role I'm going to play in that. And what is so cool about all of this is after David gave all of these things, after David provided, as he said, more than I have, more than I should, it was going to be Solomon's job to build it. And then they said, "Then David said to all the assembly, 'Now bless the Lord your God.' And all the assembly blessed the Lord, the God of their fathers, and bowed down and paid homage to the Lord and King." When you give an offering to Yahweh, praise Him. It's not about you giving an offering of money, time, resources, abilities. It is about the opportunity to praise God. In 2 Chronicles 5, this is when the temple of God that Solomon built, that King David gave so much to prepare, when the priests came out from the holy place, for all the priests who were present had sanctified themselves without regard to divisions. And all the Levitical singers, Asaph, Heman, Jeduthun, and their sons and kinsmen, clothed in fine linen, with cymbals, harps, and lyres, standing east of the altar, and with them 120 priests blowing trumpets. In unison, when the trumpeters and the singers were to make themselves heard with one voice, to praise and to glorify the Lord, and when they raised their voices, accompanied by trumpets, cymbals, and other musical instruments, and when they praised the Lord, saying, He indeed is good, for His kindness is everlasting, then the house of the Lord was filled with a cloud, so that the priests could not rise to minister because of the cloud, for the glory of the Lord filled the house of God. When you give to Yahweh, praise God, we get to the point where we cannot minister to Him because He is the only one worthy of giving Himself glory and honor. But we play a part in getting to that point. So when I stand up here and I say, Yahweh wants you to give, it is not just your 10% of the net or the gross or whatever it is. It is not just the talents that you have, the abilities that you have, the skills that you have, the time that you have. It is about walking in obedience to what God has given you, trusting that He will be glorified through that, and that at some point in time, because of your offerings to Him, whatever it looks like, that ministry, that manifestation of Him in other people's lives, the priests, you could not rise to minister because of the cloud, for the glory of the Lord filled the house of God. That is what we are shooting for. That should be our goal. That should be the reason why we enter into covenant with God, not for the blessings that we get, although we praise God for those things. It's that He's going to be honored and glorified through that. And so I would like to ask you to stand with me, if you don't mind. If I may pray for you, and if I may not, I will anyway. Each and every one of you have tithes, resources, offerings, gifts, time, abilities, family, jobs, whatever it is. Every single person in this room has something that God wants to use. Every single person on this side has something. Every single person in the middle. Every single person over here. Every single person back there. And everyone on live stream, whoever it might be, you all, every one of you, from the oldest to the youngest, have something to give to Yahweh. And if you want to enter in, if you want to walk in that covenant with Him, ask Him what it is, and give it willingly. You're supposed to, but willingly give that to Him. And I truly believe, whatever it looks like, it may not be a group manifestation, but I truly believe in your life you will see such a manifestation of God that you will not be able to minister because of His presence, for the glory of the Lord filled the house of God. So Father God, thank You so much for today. Thank You for Your Sabbath. Thank You for my brothers and sisters in this room who bless me and bless so many other people. Father, we thank You for the gracious provision that You have given us in so many ways. And if nothing else, Father, we thank You for the very breath that we have, because that is from You, and we should never take that for granted. Father, I just pray that each and every person in this room would see that they have something to give to You and that they would do it willingly. And not just because they feel like they should or just because they are walking in straight up obedience, Father, but they would have the desire for You to be glorified in such a way that we have nothing to offer whatsoever at any point. Father, that we give of ourselves, we give of what You have given us, and Father, we get to stand back in amazement at how You glorify Yourself. So for the men and the women and the children in this room and anyone else who might ever hear these words, Father, we thank you that you will be glorified, regardless of what we say and do, Father, because if nothing else, the rocks will cry out. But Father, we want to cry out as well, and we want to see your presence. So Father, we love you. Thank you so much for your Sabbath, and we just pray all of this in Yeshua's name. Amen? Amen. Amen. Live streamers, thank you so much. Shabbat shalom. Go in peace.